Good evening, everybody. I trust your heart has been blessed like mine. The singing tonight has been just tremendous, and we thank God for every song. I'd like you to turn, please, in Psalm 23. Psalm 23. We've been on the subject of the names of God. Brother Rupert read this in the Breaking of Bread service this morning, and we'd like to just share couple of the titles of the Lord. That's what we've been on. Brother Morris took up, I am the bread of life. And we'd like to follow on in the next few sessions or so on the divine titles. Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. There is Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will provide. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures, and he leads me beside the still waters. Here is Jehovah Shalom, the Lord of peace. He restores my soul and he leads me in the path of righteousness. The word righteousness is where we get the title of God, Tsidkenu. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Shema, the Lord's presence is always with us. It says, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Jehovah Rapha, he is the healer here in this verse. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Here he is, Jehovah Nisi, God our banner. Now, don't get alarmed. We're not going to take up all of those titles tonight. But the one Shalom, perhaps we begin with that one. We believe it's very important. He is a God of peace, Shalom. And we have many, many beautiful verses in the Bible to really support this. Peace, peace, sweet peace, wonderful gift from above. Oh, wonderful, wonderful peace, sweet peace, the gift of God's love. God shall give an answer of peace in Genesis 41:16. And he giveth peace, said Moses in number 6. Bless his people with peace, Psalm 29:11. All through the Bible, the word peace, many, many times the word is mentioned. So you can afford to rest in the peace of God. The world tonight is clamoring for peace, sad to say. Unfortunately, with all of the problems, and believe me, the world has been hit fairly hard in this very year of ours. With the mudslides in the south, the earthquake with over 72,000, in fact, maybe over 100,000 by now in Pakistan. The earth swallowed up so many of these dear people. Then you have the hurricanes of such character that we've never had, at least in the history of the world as far as we know. One still traveling. Can you imagine? Here it is, December, way up northeast of us. And so it just goes on and on. Then you have the tornadic activity where people have lost their lives. And we think of the terrorists, where lives are snuffed out aimlessly, without any sense whatsoever. And thinking that they're doing a deity, their deity, a favor. And women and children that are literally brutalized. And we have the uncontrolled wave of crime everywhere you turn. The dilemma of this in every major city of the world. Problems that exist in this fashion. We have the uncontrolled traffic of drug and drug addiction in our society. And we can't seem to stem the tide of all of these things. And we have murder, rape, robbery, and you have wars and rumors of wars. Believe me, we're in a state of turmoil. Our world needs the peace of God. Believe me, the very one who can give this peace, as we've been reading, is none other than the Lord Jesus. A little girl was terribly frightened one night, and the mother told her, says, don't be afraid, dear. Says, you remember, God has his angels watching over you. And she said, Mama, but I like someone that's got a face. I like someone that's got a face. Just like a little child. But Jesus said, he that has seen me has seen the Father. My peace I give unto you. My peace I leave with you. So we can enjoy the peace of God. Through the death of Christ on Calvary, my friend, that is what really initiated or procured the peace for mankind. That's the message of His birth. Peace on earth. You say, but Frank, where is the peace on earth? The peace on earth is in our hearts when we trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. That's where the peace is. God is speaking about a peace that must be really attained by faith. He is the personification of peace. You won't find peace in anything else. You won't find it in money. As we've told you so many times, money is good, serves a purpose. It can buy a bed, but it cannot buy sleep. It can buy food, but it cannot buy an appetite. It can buy many things, medicine, but cannot buy total health. And so money serves a purpose. And it certainly cannot buy peace. Cannot buy peace. A gentleman who is responsible for humanitarian efforts in raising money for certain functions, Mr. Johan, I think his name is, was approached by Ted Turner. Ted Turner is a billionaire. And he went to him one day and he said, what is the largest gift that you have ever received? He said, we received $500 million. Mr. Turner says, I'm going to go on record of giving the most of anybody that's ever give. I'm going to give you $1 billion. Now, that's a lot of money. It'll be paid in $100 million a year. But I will give you $1 billion. I wanted to go on record that I have given the largest gift in the world. Wait a minute, Mr. Turner. Financially, yes. Or monetarily, yes. But the greatest gift that's ever been given to mankind is when God gave His beloved Son for us there on the cross. No gift could ever match. Nothing is comparable to that gift of the Lord Jesus Christ on that cross. Oh, to think that men spurn that gift today. To think that they turn aside. Oh, friend, listen. God loves you. He cares for you. All His paths are peace. Length of days and long life and peace shall He add unto you when you trust the Lord Jesus as your Savior. The Prince of Peace, as we have in Isaiah 9:6, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, Isaiah 26, whose mind is stayed on thee. Peace I leave you with you, my peace I give unto you, that in me ye might have peace. Any man that can dare have the audacity to stand up to say that he has the peace that the world needs, he's got to back it up. And I know since I trusted Christ in the age of 15, I know that's been true in my heart. And you dear believers here and in radio land, you know that the peace of God is real. And you have it in your heart. And you can go to bed at night with this divine peace in your heart. And it's here to bless you. And He wants you to really appropriate this peace of His. Don't pass it by. It's very important that you do. Someone, he said, they have made peace by the blood of the cross in Colossians 1:20. I love that because that's Calvary right there. That's the one who gave peace by the blood of the cross. The cross work of Jesus. We cannot bypass it. And no matter what people try to do, they want to take it, the blood and the cross out of their hymn books. You could do all of that. The liberals and those people who do not believe in a blood gospel, it's just too bad. It's in the Word of God. And Brother Roddy was enumerating to us this morning, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Peace is through the blood of His cross. No other way, my friend. No other way. A universal peace will only come when they receive Christ. Earth is struggling, aching, burdened. Oh, the burdens are great, insurmountable. Presidents, empress, kings and queens, you name it. They're at wit's end corner. They do not know where to turn. The problems are just way beyond them. Ah, but Jesus has the answer. A lot of people have been worried about the popularity of Mr. Bush, President Bush. I'm not being political now, but they said that his political or his popularity has dropped, has waned, gone down. Well, if I had to speak to Mr. Bush, President Bush, I would tell him, don't be alarmed about that. The popularity of Jesus never went so low as when he went to the cross of Christ, of Calvary. It never went so low. His disciples forsook him. His father forsook him. But now, as far as God was concerned, his popularity vote was always high. But the people of the earth cried, away with him! We do not want this man to rule over us. We don't want him to reign over us. Yes. But let me tell you, as far as heaven was concerned, the angels were shouting praises for the Lamb of God. God was honoring his son. And Mr. Bush, if he does what's right, his popularity vote with God will go up. And I only say that, that's true of anyone in the political arena or in church circles. This is true. Ah, to enjoy the peace of God. The peace of God necessitated a sacrifice. And this is something we need to learn. It costs God something to procure this peace. Ah, yes, we can say, peace, peace, blessed peace. But it meant that he had to give his own beloved son, that he would have to die there on the cross for us. Oh, blessed be God for his willingness to do this. What would we do without it? And you know, the person, of course, makes the difference in this great work of his. After all, he was no mere man. He was unique. In his birth, it was foretold. Exactly, that he would die, and a lot of people forget that. I might ask the question as I read this article, I thought I'd type it out, or not have it printed rather, and share it with you. Let me ask you a question, Christian and non-Christian. What is Jesus to you, to us tonight? What is he? What is he? Is he one that just saved us from hell and one day going to take us from heaven? It's just the transaction that I'm not going to go to hell. Hallelujah. That's good to know. But I'm going to go to heaven. And that's good. We're all looking forward to heaven. But there's the parenthesis, the in-between. It's the life that we live now. What is Jesus to us? Well, to the artist, he is the one altogether lovely. To the architect, he is the chief cornerstone. To the baker, he is the living bread, as Brother Morris was sharing with us. To the banker, he is a hidden treasure. To the biologist, he is life. To the builder, he is a sure foundation. To the doctor, he is a great physician. To the educator, he is a great teacher. To the farmer, he is a lord of the harvest. To the florist, he is the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valley. To the geologist, he is the rock of ages. To the jurist, he is the righteous judge, the judge of all men. And believe me, he's going to judge righteously in the coming day. There will not be no party spirit. There will not be no juggling like in the courts of the world. There won't be those that will be set free, even though they committed 4 murders. No, no. But I tell you, he is going to be an honest, faithful, righteous judge, the judge of all men. To the jeweler, he is a pearl of great price. To the lawyer, he is a counselor, the lawgiver, and the advocate. Can you imagine that? To the horticulturist, that's the fellow in the farm, the citrus grow and so on, he is a true vine. To the newspaper man, he is the good tidings of great joy. To the oculist, that the eye man, he is the light of the world. To the philanthropist, he is the unspeakable gift. Talk about people who give gifts now, like Mr. Ted Turner. To the philosopher, he is the wisdom of God. To the preacher, he is the Word of God. That's why we preach the Word of God. That's why we preach Christ and Him crucified. To the sculptor, he is a living stone.
To the servant, he is the good master. To the statesman, he is the desire of all nations. To the student, he is the incarnate truth. To the theologian, he is the author and finisher of our faith. To the traveler, he is a new and living way. Let me pause here. A little boy was lost. And naturally, who would you go to for help but a policeman? A policeman happened to be nearby. The boy was frantic. He said, "Sir, I'm lost." He told him where he lived. And he said, "Well, you go down this street, you turn right on another street," and he gave him directions. But the boy looked confused and frightened. But there was a kind gentleman standing by. Of course, you can't always do this today. It might be a bit dangerous for children. But however, he said, "Son, I know the area, and I'm going that way, and I will take you right to your home." The boy was relieved, and so the kind gentleman took that young boy, who was so frightened, and went right to his house and waited until he got into the door, and then bid him good night. Now, the policeman showed him the way, but the kind gentleman was the way. So Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." You see, Jesus is the way. And so to the traveler, he is a new and living way. Many, many years ago, I don't think Morton will mind me telling you this story, him and Billy, and I think Allison, if I'm not mistaken, young boys in Miami, went way out of town, and I mean way out. And while they were out there, they thought when they were through that they would be able to get back by a bus. The bus driver told them, and they thought that was the bus. He said, "Sorry, boys, but no bus will ever go downtown to Miami tonight." The driver drove off, and they sat there for over an hour. Now, whether they were frightened or what, I don't know. But, you know, those days, things were a lot more peaceful than it is now. Your life's in danger if you're out in areas like that. But what did they wear? And finally, they saw this light coming, this bus coming. And the bus stopped, opened the door. It was the same driver. He said, young men, he said, "Get into this bus." He said, "I wouldn't have been able to sleep tonight knowing that I left you here in this spot." He said, "I will carry you to a place where there is a bus going downtown." He would give him transfer tickets. Now, you wouldn't have that happen today, I don't think. But I use that illustration that how wonderful it is that someone was willing to show the way. And not only show, but take them to the place where they could get back home. To the traveler, he is a new and living way. Sir, you're lost. You're traveling aimlessly in this world. You're insecure. You go to bed at night, and I don't know how you sleep if you're here and you're not a Christian. I would be deathly scared. I would literally tremble under the sheets. I don't know if I could go to bed. Even when I was a young boy without Christ, I prayed every night. I prayed and I prayed, scared that the next morning Mom and Papa would be gone, and next day living my sin just as usual, as before. Until that memorable night when the divine Savior showed me the way. No longer lost. My course was set. My path was so precious. He saved this wretch. I don't deserve it. I still don't deserve it. But God in His mercy and in His grace has reached down and saved men of all walks of life. And they have trusted the Lord. They found the way. Oh, weary traveler, stop. Stop traveling in darkness tonight. Stop walking in insecurity. Stop going about without any hope, without any peace in your heart. I want to tell you, this Christmas could be more precious, so precious to you than you ever imagined. Make up your mind. Don't let the devil beat you and deprive you of what God wants you to have. Do something about it tonight. To the toiler, he is a giver of rest. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. There are people who are laden with sin tonight. There are people who are captived by sin. There are people who are imprisoned by sin. And they're bound and they're heavy-hearted and the burden gets increasingly heavy. Some of them can't even break loose from their sin. Don't condemn them. I look at one. There go I, but for the grace of God. When we were in St. Martin's, I think it was St. Martin's, maybe the boys could confirm this. He stood in the center of the room. The poor fellow couldn't go ahead, and he couldn't go back. He was drunk. I felt so sorry for him. I kept quiet. And the taxi driver came right up to him, and just, not to hit him, of course, but almost touched him. And I could see him now, languished, tired, forlorn. And he turned, and you know, he leaned over the bumper of the car, as if he was going for a good night's rest. He didn't even know, but the bumper of the car was warm, and he just thought that there was a resting place. And of course, when the driver tooted his horn, he woke up or got up, and he backed off again and went to the side of the road, to the gutter. But you know what broke my heart? Not just the fact that he was alone and that he was drunk, but no one there to care for him. Oh, I wish I could have gotten out of that cab and gone over to him and put my arms around him and said, sir, I want to tell you something. He may not have been able to understand it. Jesus loves you, like we were singing tonight. God's love. Oh, this world is heavy-hearted. Sin burden. You'd be surprised right here in Spanish Wells. And the burden gets increasingly heavy. Oh, they need to know that Jesus will give rest. Come unto me, and I will give you rest. Ah, to the sinner, he is the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. And to the Christian, he is the Son of the living God, the Savior, the Redeemer, our Lord. That's what he is, and he's even more. And he's here tonight. I'm glad, you know, God is in Spanish Wells. Did you know that? Some people think it's way out there in the planetary heavens. Listen, I got news for you. God is in Spanish Wells, just like in the Isle of Wight. I don't know how many of you heard of the Isle of Wight, a little group of islands not far from England. And a person went there, a preacher, on one occasion. He met this dear old lady. And he said, tell me, does the Queen Victoria, ever visit here? And she said, oh, yes, quite often. Says, well, tell me something. Does Jesus ever visit here? And she said, oh, no. He never visits here. He said, how sad. He said, sir, you misunderstood me. You ask if he visits here. He lives here. He lives here. Jesus is living here in Spanish Wells. Did you know that? You know where the address? Right next to your side. Right in this room, right next to you. You can reach out your hand. He's there. You can open your mouth and he'll hear you when you pray. Just a whisper and he'll hear your prayer. He's here. Oh, I pray, God, that you will do something about it tonight, that you will let him come into your heart and know what this peace is all about that we've been speaking about. He is our peace, and the Lord shall give you peace, according to 2 Thessalonians 3:16. Let the peace of God rule in your heart, said Paul to the Philippians. Aye, that peace can be yours tonight. You can go out of this building knowing the peace of God. I trust you will do it tonight. I'm going to ask you to turn to our hymn book, 196. 196. Come every soul by sin oppressed. There's mercy with the Lord. 196. I hope I got it right tonight. Oh, come every soul by sin oppressed. There's mercy with the Lord. And he will surely give you rest by trusting in his word. Only trust him. Only trust him. He will save you. He will save you. He will save you. Now, I'm going to ask you to stand. I just feel so burdened. I long to see somebody step out with courage. After all, God is on your side. And it is. It's waiting for you. Walk down this aisle and we'll go over to the office. Brother Morris and there's any ladies, some of the sisters will be glad to go with you. And we'll be able to pray with you. Some of you might have a burden. Some, even Christian, you're so burdened down about your children or whatever it is. Well, join us here in front for prayer. It might not be the thing we practice, but nothing wrong with it. In fact, I believe we'll touch off a revival if we could just do that. You must have a burden. Maybe a Christian that's out of touch with the Lord. An unsaved person here, not saved. Let's stand and sing. And you come, meet me down here to the front. Will you do that? And we'll have a prayer meeting right here. A short prayer. I'll have a brief prayer. Let's stand and sing this beautiful hymn, please.